Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Any comments or
When you're in Petra, you look up past the pagan temple to the mountains, the Aaron's. When you leave Petra and you go up on the highway to Ammon, the Wadi Musa, the Valley of Moses, that's the name of the building of that. There's water, a spring that everybody goes to. It's a cheap in the mosque. And well, we didn't get to go on the last trip, but I went there with somebody else and we can scoop it out and drink it. So that water is still there. Those tombs are still there. This Kadesh that's in this portion, that's the same place. So this all goes back to Petra again, where they died, basically. And Moses didn't die at Petra, but that was happened by Nebo.
Anybody else?
Sounds like a full circle.
Everybody's quiet. Nobody has much to say. It sounds like I'm being hard on Moses. The fact of the matter is, I love Moses. I love the law. But I see what he did. And I asked Yahweh, I prayed. I said, Yahweh, you need to show me what he did. I've gotten it for a long time that he did not teach the people to speak to the rock, but I really didn't understand the full significance of that until this Torah portion. Go ahead.
Hey, Sherry.
I just thought it was interesting when you were talking about how the people committed treason. And when you, like, what's going on in America right now within the government is almost a mirror of what they did as far as the tests and how they responded. And it's every governmental system around the world is doing the same stuff.
Yeah, but and the inequality in that, it depends on who's committing the treason. Like right now, if you're a Democrat and you commit treason and throw America under the bus, under the Chinese Maoist bus,
right.
You know, that's okay.
Right.
If you are a Republican and want to travel on that Bolshevik Russian religious bus, now that's not okay. And if you don't want to be vaccinated, boy, is that not okay.
That's a big bus.
Yeah. Yes.
As I read this, I was thinking about Moses going all the way back to the burning bush. And Yahweh was calling it. It reminded me of on my life's journey, time where he was calling me that I didn't want to do what he wanted me. And then take him just before this point, Moses was outstanding with all that he did correctly and how he managed to keep it together, even to the point where he stood up against Yahweh. You can't destroy your people. Destroy me instead. And looking at a couple of different places in my earlier life where he wanted me to do something I didn't count miraculously turned out in my life. And then as I moved on, mostly correct, never got out of the church before I got out in the field. All the way over here. Not too long before I came over here. And things went on. I literally almost died in a car accident. I came this close to having car accidents. I was falling asleep. And somehow, I managed not to die. Looking back later, I thought Yahweh had every reason to kill me. And comparing that to basic Moses' one mess up, which I'm thinking.
But Michael, Moses affected hundreds of millions of people. And he caused, what he did caused Israel eventually, the 12 tribes of Israel eventually to fail. So he was a great man, and Yahweh used him mightily. This one mistake, and I'm sure that, you know, when I see him in the kingdom, hopefully if I'm in the kingdom, I know he's going to be there. Because he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Yeshua. I think Yeshua did that to make sure everybody knows Moses is in the kingdom. Okay? So he's going to be there. Hopefully I will be there. And if I get to talk to him and tell him, you know, Moses, you really messed up, he's probably going to agree with me. Yeah, because what I did messed up the Israelites in their head. They didn't understand the proper relationship with their rock. And later on, it would turn out that they would turn their back on their king and want a human king instead. See, I mean, that whole thing, just that, it's one thing. We can all do one thing that can mess up everything for us for down the road. We have to be so careful. That's why I tell people we're still qualifying. We can all still mess up and find ourselves out of the walk included.
Well, my conclusion was, I guess, finally overcame every opportunity to destroy me, literally. And finally got through it alive. And I hear what you're saying, and I know that's correct.
Yahweh was merciful to you, and yay! Always. Tell people, like, you know, we're here with two suitcases and a carry-on, and out pop two whole apartments and one husband.
Mark, Michelle.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, hey, I just want to follow up on something you were saying, Kimberly, about, you know, we want to be very careful and not mess up. And on the one hand, I'm very much in agreement with that. On the other hand, I think there's something in our human nature that sometimes when we hear that, we just kind of say internally, I'm not going to be so bold in much of anything because I might make a mistake. And so obviously that's not what you did, Kimberly, because you also said that you came here with two suitcases and you didn't know what was going on. So you did bold things in obedience to God. But I think sometimes, you know, there's something in our psychology that doesn't want to lose, to mess up. And so, you know, the parable of the people that were given different talents, one was given 10, one 5, one 3, or 5, 2, and 1, depending on which version of the parable you're looking at. You know, the one guy that had just one talent, well, he didn't want to mess up. He didn't want to lose anything from the master because he knew the master was hard. And, you know, he wanted to at least give back to the master what the master had given him. And the Lord called him a wicked and unfaithful servant. And the others who took chances and you know, they were given more and they went out and they took chances to try to grow with the gifts or the talents or the money that the king had given them. They're the ones that God said, good job. And so, well, on the one hand, I agree with you completely when you say we want to be careful not to mess up. On the other hand, we don't want to be so careful that we don't put ourselves out there and be bold and try to take ground and whatever that means and expand and do more and make a difference. And I think if we're going out and being bold and not too careful, that God rewards that. And so I think that's something we want to keep in mind, too.
You are right, Kimberly. The only thing that I would like to say and to remind all of us is that he will bring us faultless before the throne. He said he would bring us. Now, our part is to have faith and so forth. If we're really his, we're going to make it. We need to encourage each other and so forth. So when we do make a mistake, if we really do a big sin or something, we need to have our brothers and sisters to come to us and bring us to the place where, hey, you know, if so, to pull us up out of the pit, so to speak, so that we can repent. But that's Yahweh bringing us faultless. He's bringing us to the place before him with the judgment. In other words, if we're really his, we're not going to be out of his will very long because we won't be able to stand. There's something about walking with him. If we get off track, you get kind of miserable. So I do believe all of us to keep our eyes, try to every morning when we wake, keep our eyes focused on him and do our dead level best to be where he wants us to be. But he will help us. So no one get defeated on this.
Go ahead, Sherry.
I just wanted to say thank you to Mark.
I agree with Mark that we have to be willing to take the chances that Yahweh leads us to do. The two that in that parable that were given the five talents and the two talents and who did things with those talents also did not break Yahweh's law. And they still had their relationship with the king when he came back to them, you know. So there is the unspoken element of that parable is that they were keeping his law and they kept their relationship with him. So again, law and relationship are both required. But, you know, we have to be bold, but we also have to be righteous in our walk. We can't be reckless. Go ahead.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, I agree with that, Kimberly. I guess I'm speaking to, I don't mean bold and feeling free to disregard God's instruction, but I think when we hear we need to be careful, there's something that sometimes happens in us psychologically that says, I need to withdraw and just obey, and that's
stay in
it.
My house.
Yeah, and stay in my house almost. And I think God rewards boldness and bold obedience rather than you know, just shrinking and sitting and saying, okay, well, I didn't break his law today, so that's good. It's not just that. He wants us to go out and conquer. and that's a part of obedience that I think, that we tend to neglect. And there's a spirit behind that of, you know, because I am in the Lord, because I am part of his covenant, now we need to go forth and take the land. And sometimes that means, you know, if the Lord's instructing, just sit back and watch the Lord take the city. And sometimes it means you go wield the sword and watch Yahweh get the victory for you. You want to say something, Michelle?
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing with you, Mark, is that there is a division between obeying God, just what we see in the Word of God, Torah, just obeying that, and obeying like what you did, leaving everything and taking your two suitcases because you knew God was speaking to you and saying go, which is not necessarily just a Torah commandment, but it was in the Torah commandments and what God was speaking to you. So I think that's what you're saying, Mark, is that you should hear the broader picture and be courageous enough to obey him, what he's saying to do.
Yeah, sometimes we hear be careful and don't step out of line, and we want to move into a form of passive obedience. And I think, yes, the Lord wants us to be obedient, but he wants us to be actively obedient too. It's not just don't screw up, you know, don't do anything actively bad. He wants us to do actively good things too, and not just be passive and avoid breaking, you know, the do not commandments. But we need to obey and move forward and take
the positive land. Commandments.
So. Yeah, active obedience.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Sherry?
That's exactly why I said thank you to Mark, because I'm constantly double thinking, re-guessing. I'm struggling right now. Like, I know he said to do that, but maybe he really meant do that, and maybe I'm not doing what he said because did he really mean? I'm driving myself insane with this right now, trying to double guess what I know has already been said, and I need to just sit down and shut up and do it. But I'm so afraid that he said something else and I missed it. I'm freaking myself out.
Well, I think that I ended this talk with a positive command. Let's get this right. Let's speak to each other. Let's not make the mistake of Moses in the wilderness, which is a positive command, which is a step out and do what Moses didn't do, which actually I didn't say this in the teaching, which is as you go, call people to repentance. And, you know, that's part of our job with each other is to call each other to repentance. I think it is very positive that we understand what how Moses failed so that we won't do that same thing. But that doesn't mean that we don't speak. We need to speak. That's the point. Well, what if God speaks to them and they don't respond? Yes, God does stop people and they don't respond. And if I speak to somebody, and they don't respond, it's the same as when God speaks to them and they don't respond. All right. Well, if there's no other comments, we can go on to the Haftarah.
Jeremiah 32, verse 16 to 23.
Jeremiah 32, verse 16. Donna, will you read 16 through 20, please?
Jeremiah 32, 16?
Yes.
And after I had given the deed to the Lord, son of Jeremiah, I prayed to Yahweh, saying, after Yahweh, see, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and outstretched them. There is no matter too hard for you. Who show loving commitment to thousands in your favor, crooked in the father, into the bosom of the children, after them, the great, the mighty, and Yahweh host, the great, intense, and mighty, the Lord. For your eyes are open to all the ways of the men, to give everyone according to the his wage, according to the fruit of his deed. For you have set signs and wonders, the land of Israel to this day, to Israel, and among other men, and you have made yourself as it is this day.
And you have brought the people of Israel out of the land of Israel with signs and wonders, with strong hand and outstretched arm, with great force, fierce and deeds. You gave them this land, of which we swore to their fathers to give them, the land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in to possess it. They did not obey your voice, nor did they walk in your full life. They did not do all that you commanded them to do. So you brought all this evil upon them.
Are you going to finish all the way?
No, I'm going to tell you 23.
Oh, okay. Any comments? Go ahead, Benjamin.
So what are the two things? Personal relationship with Yeshua, obey your voice, speak to the wrong. So it's you actually preach, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ today for Moses, which is where we started Christianity with that part of the rock and love. So now we're coming from the other angle, going backwards, reversed, of course.
Yep.
Fear and obey the voice is mentioned first. Both.
Well, and, you know, when Yeshua raised from the dead, he restored corporate Israel, but rather than fill up corporate Israel with a bunch of people from one place, like we did with them coming out of Egypt, he has called people over the last 2,000 years, and they have filled up the kingdom individually. Because first, he wants you to talk to him, but he does not want you to forget his law.
Right. I think he reversed the order because of the confusion of religion, because of the Moses confusion. Instead of starting with our religious laws, coming to the personal covenant like Abraham, to hear the voice, obey the voice, then learn the law like Abraham, because for Abraham it was backwards too. So circumcision for Abraham came last, comes last for us. And then when you're part of that corporate people where you start off there, you're starting off circumcised the law, that's just because of the relationship of the traveler, the kingdom, where they're at on the inside that kingdom, confined right now on the outside of the country. So because of where you're at locationally, you look at both perspectives, but you have to be able to see the whole thing either from both angles.
Son of Kirtland, do you think that prior to them going into Egypt, this passed down from Father Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, and from Jacob to his 12 sons? And after that, I don't see that so much. We kind of got lost in that time that they were in Egypt. That this was passed down as an individual to an individual. I see that they hung together as a group. They did that part down. But they did not have a personal relationship with themselves, nor did they have it with Yahweh. They cried out to him, but that's as far as they went. They knew that they could call on him in time of trouble. But I don't even think they called out to him so much as their spirits within them called out. And he heard their groaning because of their bondage. So in that respect, I believe they kind of lost that in Egypt. So by the time they get to Mount Sinai, they had to be taught again how to have that personal relationship. And he never caught on, even to this very day. We haven't caught on to a personal relationship. We're okay with a corporate thing. Okay, you speak for us, and we'll listen, and we'll do what he says. As a representative of us. We have that in our governmental structure. We have that in our church structure. We have it in our school system. The one speaks for the many. where he wanted the many to speak him as one. This is how he wanted it from the very beginning. Not out of one, out of many, but the many speak to him as one man. This is what this whole thing about when he came and died on the cross, that he brought that new man back to life from the old man that we talked about before. Help me out here. Jeremiah 1? Where the old man is decrepit and fallen.
Isaiah chapter 1.
So he brought that new man out of him to where now all of Israel is back to this one corporate. And we're all seen as one man rather than one man.
Well, and then there's the other perspective is that to them, Moses was the Messiah that God sent. They were expecting a Messiah. And so when he took control of the rock in the wrong way by beating it twice with the stick, he was showing that he's the one in control, see? And so now that all that Savior thing plays into it. And they thought that that thing at Mount Sinai meant that promised covenant, that the promises, because he said it throughout the Torah, the Lord has fulfilled his promises to you, right? They thought that, that was the law that was fulfilled. That was the promises fulfilled. Just like today, Jews and Christians, they say, what do they say? That old thing is done away with. We have a new thing now. So when they came out of Egypt and they got the Abrahamic promises fulfilled in that covenant, well, that's all fulfilled. That's all new news, old news rather. And Moses, you are our Savior. And look, you control the rock.
That's what rabbis do.
Yeah. Yes. That's my point.
So in that venue, yeah, this is the same thing the Egyptians did with their gods. And they're seeing that in Moses. So there's a big confusion. It's like, so who did this thing at Mount Sinai? Was it you, Moses? Or was it Yahweh? Are you speaking on behalf of him and we're just intermediary? Or is it all you? They're confused on this and we've been confused ever since.
Yes. Any other comments? Well, I have something here to share with you on my desktop. Religion is something you do. Kingdom citizen is something you are. I thought that came to my mind. I thought, man, that's good.
I'm sorry, what was the latter part?
The whole thing is religion is something you do. Kingdom citizen is something you are. I'm having to restart my computer. Y'all can go along without me. My computer is having its coffee break right now and has decided it's not going to type until I restart it.
John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29.
Go ahead and read it.
Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have practiced evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I thought condemnation was done away with.
Any other comments?
Is 29 talking about the great white throne or the kingdom millennial before? Is this a reference to Daniel based on the previous verse, or is this when the millennium starts? This verse 29. Looks like it's at the end of the millennium.
Could be both.
Scroll up.
The resurrection of life is the first resurrection, and the resurrection to condemnation is the white throne judgment.
The reference he keeps talking about is calling himself the Son of Man, so there's a Daniel allusion.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear shall. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life within himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And we have the understanding when Yeshua died, he went down into the grave, and he basically saved all those who died previously because of the condemnation of the Lord.
And I doubt there were very few people who refused his offer of salvation.
A few days ago, I was pondering, just had a lot of pondering from when I was a little kid, you know, grade school, all that stuff. I went through what high school was like and college and all that. I was going to be so major. I was going to graduate college with this wonderful degree. Well, I changed my major in college about four times before I finally got it, and then I became an accountant of all things. That's nothing to what I had planned for me. And I started thinking about other things, and, you know, I went to Bible college because I was going to be a minister. That's the only thing I was going to do. And I had to be a minister. I mean, you know, what was right for me, I was saying was right for me, was not what happened. But looking back, I'm like, everything that didn't go right actually was wonderful and led me to further and further in a marriage of over 35 years and still growing.
And you're an alcoholic.
And you're, yes. That's, I mean, something that was never in my plan. I was happy in Indiana, you know, but I don't know why. And I was really happy in Oregon. I mean, you know, I just realized, like I said, it was 2 days ago, and I realized that when Yahweh is in control and does, and you do what he wants instead of what your plans are, you have wonderful things that you can think of, and you go, wow, this is so cool.
Yes. Rick, you have something?
Well, for his very heck, she went up. Question, do you like to visit Oregon at this point?
No.
Oh. You wouldn't just like to go and stay for 3 weeks?
No, I don't want to even go back for a day at this point.
I think, I'm not sure which gospel it is, but Yeshua said, those who follow me do not know where they're going to put down their heads, where they will stay or go.
Right. And walk by faith and not by sight. And he will get us there.
And I, if I could find the scripture, I just sent it out in email. It says, if you give up father, mother, son, daughter, and even lands, you will have an honored place in the kingdom. I'm trying to... It's Matthew 19:29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100 times and will inherit eternal life. But, well, everybody in this room has done that. And right here is our promise. I keep saying, I hope I make it. My promise is right here. I will inherit eternal life. Yep.
But many who are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
And there's been no way to do that. I mean,
it's not.
Our son. I call him, you know, because and Rick always says, look, who are you calling? I said, well, I'm calling one. And he's like, it's been a week. But, I mean, I miss him terribly, my daughter. I miss him both terribly, friends. But that's not where we're supposed to be. This is where we are supposed to be. And it's good. It's really good here. And it would not be good to go back to that.
Right. That's right. Especially at this stage. But at any stage, it would not be. But we're getting so much closer to... We're seeing things unroll now that... The people back in the 50s and 60s wanted to see, and they were standing in the pulpit saying, we're seeing these things, and Jesus coming is imminent, and, you know, that was 60 years ago. Well, we are seeing those things.
They said to rejoice.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Your redemption's at the door.
Right, exactly. So what a blessed and honored thing it is for us to be in this generation and for us to be here. Called to help prepare the way for the woman who will be coming. It's an awesome honor and blessing.
You know, if you look at all the people that are here, a lot of them have something medically wrong with us. So what? You know, I mean, it's like, it is a big deal. If I was in the States, they'd have me on so much medicine again, you know, and I'm getting by without.
Yeah. Well, and then I was just reading also in the scripture, he says, I'm going to gather the lame and the sick. And that's what everybody in this room has some kind of lameness or sickness going on. Every single person in this room has some kind of lameness or sickness. He's going to gather the lame and the sick. Let me see if I can find that. It is in Jeremiah. I ran across it because I was...
I think it's Jeremiah 31:8.
Yes, I will gather them
I will bring them from, that's because I was quoting that in this week's Beast Watch News. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the uttermost parts of the earth, along with the blind and the lame. So I said the lame and the sick, but it's the blind and the lame. The woman with child and her who travails with child together. So women with children and pregnant women are coming as well, and they will return as a great company.
Says, they shall come with weeping and with prayers, I will lead them.
He is our reardon.
Yep.
I am the father of Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. Yep. Ephraim is an acronym for those scattered ones.
Yes.
He who scattered Israel will gather him and, what does it say, keep him. As a shepherd keeps his flock. Sheep are dumb, huh?
Yeah.
But he knows how to get them there. Isn't that a wonderful problem?
You know. All right. Well, I guess we're finished with this week's Torah portion. This is earlier than most. Well, there wasn't very much to the readings. Very, very small.
Mark?
Yeah, that was really fast. You know, we came like 6 minutes late, and now it's like, hey, wait a minute. That 6 minutes is a lot longer than I thought it was.
How are things going over there?
Things are well, yeah. They're going to do away with the mask mandate if you're walking alone on the street coming Sunday. That's generous.
Yeah.
Sherry, you have something.
Oh, I just wanted to do anything I could to keep the conversation going because it's too early to end. I look forward to this all week. You can't abandon me early.
Okay. Well, we can definitely hang out here and talk about anything.
I'm curious, Mark. This is Charles.
Yeah, Charles.
Have y'all been contacted in any manner about taking the vaccine?
You know, I'm a student at Hebrew University, and I'm feeling some pressure from Hebrew University about that, and so that's a little bit of a concern.
What kind of pressure?
Well, they keep wanting to know, you know, are you vaccinated? Send proof of vaccination. You know, I guess some international students are having trouble getting the green passport, so... with Hebrew U, they've been doing a lot of Zoom classes. And so after Pesach, so this coming week, after Pesach and now after these Independence Days this week, they're talking about maybe resuming in-person classes. Well, I think they want you to be vaccinated and, you know, if not, take all kinds of tests before you come in, or serum test plus the PC stick in your brain test. And I'm not eager for any of that stuff. So, I wonder if I could just bring up an email, my latest one that's concerning me. In the meantime, while I'm doing that, if I could, I've got a card that I made up based on some meme that I saw on the web. I'm sure some of you have seen this. I know Kimberly's up on everything. You've seen that meme that says, I'm a transvaxite?
Yes, yes.
So I saw one that with a little logo, and I made a card. And so the front part of the card says vaccinated, and there's an X on there, and it's some kind of a funky symbol that's, you know, they've got the male symbol and the female symbol, the circle with the whatever symbols are. So they've got that symbol, plus they've got coming out of the top of it, they've got two different syringes, one yellow, one green, and then out of the top of that, they've got a unicorn horn that's multicolored. And on the back, I changed some of the wording. I put, this card and its likeness functions as proof of transvaxite and hereby certifies that its holder sexually identifies as medically vaccinated. Vaccination identity, yep. Vaccination identity, like human sexuality, is a spectrum. Failure to recognize another person's transvaxite identity is a form of intolerance and hate speech and makes one a bigot. So I actually carry this in my wallet. The problem is, if you're not a native English speaker, you really don't get it. And I mean, I've used it with a few people that I think their English is very good and they're just confused. So, That said, and now I'm looking for that thing. Go ahead.
I coined a word, maybe other people have already started using it, but I don't remember it being used, vaxports, for those vaccine passports. Just shorten it up and call it a vax. We'll see if it catches on. Probably not. But if it does, I'll take credit.
Yeah.
Good.
So you see issues shortly ahead.
Possibly.
You can't teach a green class.
Well, I'm a student. If I have a teacher that's older than me, it's quite a privilege. And I am. Here we go. Where's this old? April 11? Okay, so here's one. This is the latest one I'm thinking of. For insurance, dear student, for insurance purposes, we're checking to see who has been vaccinated in Israel for COVID-19. Please answer with any documentation you have verifying your vaccination. And so when I first got this 6 days ago, I was still waiting to be accepted for the next school year. And I didn't want to answer this until I got my acceptance letter. And so I just ignored it. And I'm still in the state of ignoring it. I've been accepted for next year at Hebrew U. That doesn't guarantee I'll get a visa, but it's a good bet. So far I'm ignoring this.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, so this is Michael. So the point comes that they tell you you've got to be vaccinated or you can't come to the university. So what happens then?
Well, I don't know what happens then. Right now I'm in the Rothberg International School, which is a part of Hebrew University. So we still have, in each class, I've got two of them, a good proportion of the students is that half or a little more than half or a little less than half, I don't know, that couldn't get into the country. So the only way they can get into the class is by Zoom. And so maybe a month ago they were saying, or 3 weeks ago they were saying in an email that, if you're in the country, you can't attend the classes by Zoom. But if you're out of the country, you can attend the classes by Zoom. Well, I'm in the country. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think I'm going to be able to get through the semester. I don't think that's going to, I think there'll be uncomfortable situations and emails and conversations maybe. In one of my classes, I'm going to do a research paper that necessitates going to the library. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Maybe have friends that are vaccinated photocopy relevant pages of books or whole books. I don't know. Go ahead.
One more. Okay. Come to the point where they bring you in and they say, Mark, you either get the mark or you leave the school permanently.
I guess I'd have to leave. The only things they're offering here are the Pfizer and the Moderna, and I'm just not comfortable taking those. What is it that they used to say in the abortion debate? Something about it's my body, you can't tell me to do with my body. Where's all that?
Well,
right?
The thing is, though, that the abortion babies, even live ones these days, that they deliver and take body parts, whatnot, that's what's been used in these vaccines.
Yeah.
Some say, well, the current babies, it's been babies from a long time ago. What difference does it make? There's aborted babies that were murdered and are providing the method of making these vaccines.
Yeah, for some of them.
Not only that, the Chinese, the J&J, and other adenovirus vaccines also are DNA therapy. I've written about that in Beast Watch News, but this past week, the Chinese vaccine manufacturers are now going to mix the various vaccines.
Oh, that's nice.
Moderna and Pfizer together with their own adenovirus vaccines and make a concoction, a cocktail.
That's
So there's no safe vaccine. There never was, but it's getting worse.
Yeah. So I don't see an option out there for me for this semester other than to skate through this semester. And so I'm concerned about my bigger concern is about the coming school year. And the way things change all the time, we don't know what things are going to be 3 weeks from now, let alone, 5 months from now. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll roll with the punches and might just have to take a few, and then things may change for us.
Well, I'm going to make a point, and I hope others in our group here will make a point of praying for you and Michelle that y'all will be able to escape this death threat as far as I'm concerned. You just can't do it. So we're just going to pray that Yahweh's going to open the door and that you don't, they don't succeed in forcing you to do it.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead and do that. Yeah. No, we're going to pray right now.
Father, you have shown us over here what an evil thing this is. These so-called vaccinations, at best, they're experimental tries, but it doesn't even look like they're trying. It looks like the whole point is to set up to murder millions of people because they have no idea what these vaccines are going to do over time. There's people dying after the vaccines. There's people getting very sick after the vaccines. There's been strokes. There's been blood clots. Father, this is pure evil. And we pray that you show Mark and Michelle a way to escape this.
Yes.
Whatever they have to do, show them the way to escape in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Michael, thank you.
You're welcome.
And, every so often I get these requests for surveys for, well, one was from Disney Federal Credit Union this campaign. And in the survey, well, they asked you, how do you like the online part? How do you like your part? What's, what are you using the most? And kind of general question. And I answered what I thought was appropriate. Then you get down to the certain part and say, this is personal information. You can either do this or not. And I'm reading through this. It's like, have you taken the COVID-19 vaccination? I said, no. The next question is, why don't you want to take the COVID? And they listed a bunch of reasons. One of them is, I don't like, it's not tested adequately, and the common reasons that I would give. And then says other, I said, I don't like the idea that they put aborted baby parts into the vaccine.
Good.
And other things. So I was like, they're even asking on a survey for a bank about why or why not I won't take the vaccine.
Because you're fun. It's like,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I keep saying we need to really keep our money out of the banks and the credit unions, keeping the cash as much as possible. Go ahead.
Hey, Sherry.
The nice Christian lady that came and talked to me the other day was said that her father was in a nursing home. They gave him the first dose. He got very, very sick. They gave him the second dose, and he died.
The manager of what's the burger place?
Burger maker.
We get really good hamburgers here, and from a place called Burger Maker. The manager, I ran into him at the grocery store, and we had a lovely chat. And we started talking about the vaccination. And I asked him if he had taken it. He said, no, I don't want to. But he said, I may have to if I'm going to work as burger maker. Anyway, we kept chatting. Then he reached into his wallet and took it out and he opened it. He said, this is my father. And he died after he took the vaccine. I don't know how old he was, but he was elderly. I said, oh, I am so sorry. Very handsome man that looked very well and intelligent, And I just told him how sorry I was. And his wife walked over about that time, and she doesn't speak hardly any English, just a little. But he went on to say, I can't remember his name, but anyway, he said to her in Arabic what we were talking about. And then he said, because her sugar has been a high level, that she was thinking about taking the vaccination. I said, no, no, la, la, la. That means no, no, no. And I said, because it's very deadly. And then I pointed to her father-in-law's picture. I said to her husband, please don't let her take it because this is very deadly to her as well. And it doesn't even cover the COVID virus.
Well, we hear of a number of people here who take the vaccine and then they've gotten sick or some have died. And we have a Jordanian friend whose wife's uncle was 55 years old, took the jab. The next day he was in the hospital, and within between 2 and 3 days he was dead. He had no diseases, no heart disease, no diabetes. He wasn't sick with anything. He was healthy. He was out running around doing stuff. He was just normal, but he died after taking that.
Also, for those online, you know, Gary has had some heart issues, and his cardiologist said that he just offered this information. I didn't even ask him. But he just said the second vaccination is 5 times stronger than the first one. And he said, we're having so many people die here. I said, I've heard that. And I said, that's incredible. Oh, my.
Well, and they're not registering them as being related to the vaccine either. They're over-recording deaths as being COVID when they're not. Car accidents, other accidents.
So we have lots more car issues. We have no more flu.
Right.
No, nothing.
The seasonal flu has disappeared. All of those are COVID. But when it comes to people dying from the vaccine, it's all other causes. And that's going on worldwide. It's not just here.
Right.
Got a question.
Oh,
look, it's not right that a business can tell their employees, if you're going to work here, you have to take the vaccine.
That's called that you can't buy and sell. That's why it's the mark of the beast. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah,
No problem.
I don't know. Brandon raised his hand, and I don't know who was up first. So go ahead.
All I'm going to say is I know more people that got corona than didn't when it comes to getting sick, but I know more people have died from vaccines that got corona than people who had corona. So almost everybody that ever had corona that I know, they lived, but the recording is yes. But everybody that's got vaccines, I've heard more of those people dying.
Yep.
So they don't want you to get sick.
Hey, go ahead, Mark.
Hey, which vaccines are they giving out where you guys are in Jordan? Which manufacturer, do you know?
All of them. We got them all now.
So it's hard to know who's getting what, which one. Everybody's just dying from
you. You can't ask, and you can't find out any information about the vaccine. They just give it to you.
So you don't know if you're getting the Sputnik or the Pfizer or the Sinovac or who knows what.
So we'll tell you.
Well, actually, we do know what we're getting. Yes, none of them.
That was good.
Here's another thought. I mean, there's already all over the place. This already is happening. Is unless you have it, you can't buy and sell. You can't go to grocery stores. You can't go to your bank. That's pretty close to not being able to buy and sell.
Yeah.
So
sure.
We know that things are going to get very, very difficult. So if here's the way I look at it. I'm not taking the vaccine, period. They'll have to hold me down and tie me down. And the bottom line is I think I can prevent myself from being jabbed, but dying before all, I mean, I want to be here when the cure returns. But if I die before he returns, whatever I miss of the last 7 years, that does have its blessings to a point. Again, that's not my motivation whatsoever. I want to go through the whole thing, and I want to see Yeshua return. I want to be here when he comes for us.
Me too.
There's been a number of people, not necessarily people that we know, but in Kimberly's teaching and hearing from people, basically, you know, they're saying, I don't have a choice. I've got to work. I've got to feed my children. there's things that I need to do. And basically, it's just a big list of conveniences. So it's not convenient for me not to have the vaccine. Well, the last 7 years isn't going to be convenient to anybody that's waiting to see Yeshua return. It's going to be very inconvenient. By the way, Mark, how old are you?
Mark, did you hear Michael's question, or maybe you just don't want to answer it?
No, I heard his... I heard his question, and I must have turned off my microphone instead of on. I'm 59, will be 60 in September.
Oh, gosh, you're still up. Go ahead, Nia.
Do I win? Do I win something with that information?
Still a child.
A cup of coffee.
Go ahead, Nia.
I was just going to comment on two different things as far as the vaccination. At my office where I work at, I believe she's 42 years old. And so I have to be careful, like, because they've already told us at the office that they do not want us talking about negative thought about not saying anything negative about the vaccinations, because there are some people that are very awake, and I'm one of them, and I'm still in the workforce. So right across from me is this girl, but it was our lunch break, so I think, you know, we have the liberty to talk about it. But anyway, they all went to lunch. It was three girls. They're like in their 30s. And they all came back so excited. And they were just, you know, oh, I got, my arm is so sore. My arm is so sore. I go, what did y'all go do for lunch? And they all went down to the clinic, because there's a clinic right across from where we work. And they go, well, we got vaccinated. And I just kind of like froze, so to speak. But one of them did tell me, she goes, you know, Nia, my arm is really sore. And I go, and I just said to her, do you know what's in the vaccination? And she said, well, I really don't care what's in it. She goes, I mean, I have children, Nia. She says, I just processed an application last week here for a 35-year-old man married with children, normally healthy, whatever. And when I called to let them know they were eligible for the services that we offer them, that the lady was in tears on the phone saying that her husband died. And so that co-worker's telling me that's what made me want to go get vaccinated, Nia. She says, I mean, it scared me that this guy, I think he was in his 30s, she said, married with kids. He goes, he was fine, but he wanted to get vaccinated, and days later he died. And that, I guess, put fear in her to go get vaccinated. And then the other girl was laughing at me. She goes, you know, Nia, why are you so negative about the vaccination? She goes, I mean, who cares if it turns us into zombies? And don't you think that's going to be cool? It's like that zombie movie. So, you know, there's those that my heart goes out. They're just not, they're not taking it serious. Well, then there's another coworker, and it turns out, because I have a menorah displayed on my station that was gifted to me. And she asked me if I was a Jew, and you know, I got, there's an open door to share with her. But it turns out that she says she has Jewish blood. And when she said that to me, I knew that she had also gotten vaccinated. So, and she's a mother of 9 children. She's 42 years old. And I go, you know, Kelly, I said, do you know what's in the vaccination? She goes, oh, Nia. She goes, yeah. She goes, but I got Moderna. And she goes, and that does not have aborted fetuses, because I would not put aborted fetuses in my body. I mean, no, I wouldn't do that. But the Moderna does not have any of that. And I didn't say anything because I didn't have the time to go into it with her. But she literally says it does not have aborted fetuses. She goes, no, the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer, the other ones, she goes, those don't touch. But the Moderna, it doesn't have that. She goes, or I wouldn't have gotten vaccinated. Okay, well, that was on our lunch break when we talked about that. And right at a little after 5, because I usually stay over after 5 with all this workload. But anyway, she had gone to the restroom, because she says, don't leave without me, Nia, because you and I are the last ones here. And, you know, I have to put the alarm, because she doesn't know the alarm code. But anyway, I was waiting for her to come out of the bathroom so we could leave, because it's after 5. And that same girl that had told me on her lunch break that it didn't have aborted fetuses or whatever. And it got me to thinking. I go, well, wow. she comes up to me, she pulls her shirt down from her shoulder area, and she's just, she goes, Nia, she goes, look at me, and she pulls her shirt down, and I mean, I freaked out. It was from her upper nape of her neck all around her upper shoulder, because she just literally pulled her shirt, because she was freaked out too. She goes, look at me, what is all this rash? And the first thing that came to my mind, and I don't know, I just said to her, oh my, I said, I wonder if that has anything to do with the vaccination you just got. And it kind of, and I didn't even know I should have said that, but that just came out of me, and it really alarmed her. So I go, you need to go get, she goes, I'm going to have to go to the doctor. And so we left the following morning. Well, she wasn't at the office. She called in sick. She was sick. So I'm just commenting on that. But the fact that she said that the Moderna does not have aborted fetuses. I don't know if anybody knows about that. And then Dan, my husband Dan, he was on a service call this week and came home, because he tells everyone, he doesn't shy away from telling anyone about do not get vaccinated. He tells most, when the doors open, he'll tell them. And he came home really sad and grieved, and he tells me, he goes, Nia, he goes, one of my clients, I just found out today he died. And I go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He goes, and he gets angry as to why he died. And I go, what happened? He goes, Nia, he says, yeah, he got vaccinated, and 3 days later, he died. And according to the hospital, whatever, his death was because he had fallen off his bed. So that he fell off the bed. And Dan says, and Nia, the man lives in an RV the way we do. I mean, how can you die rolling off a bed that low? And Dan says, this is not good. You know, they're, you know, so anyway, so I've been hearing all this about vaccinations all week long. My mom is 92 years old, and I have talked to my mom, and, you know, she doesn't have understanding of the Torah walk, but, you know, she is very God-fearing, and I share with her the best I can. Anyway, so she's 92, and I did already tell her about the vaccination, because all her relatives at her age, of course, are getting vaccinated, and she's the only one that we know of that's not been vaccinated. And I finally just started going, Mom, just don't get vaccinated. I go, you know, Father created us to, you know, there's like health remedies. You know, there's things we can do to take care of our health. Because I didn't want to tell her about at 92 years old aborted fetuses. I go, it's just not, we're just not going to do that, Mom. We're not going to be vaccinated. And so thus far, my mom has not. So I praise y'all for that. But anyway, I just wanted to share with you guys, as I'm listening to all this about the vaccinations, as far as with Brother Mark, I just want to say a word of encouragement that he is a way maker. And I believe that I can, if you're going to the university, I believe Father will make a way for you, just like he did for Corey Ten Boom, you know, like he did for me, because we were supposed to be. They told us at our agency that everyone in our agency would be vaccinated. And this was late December when they told us that. And I said, well, I've lost my job because I'm not getting vaccinated. And that got turned around. Now, half the agency has been vaccinated, and most of them are believers. And I'm seeing them getting vaccinated left and right, and I'm still there. And I'm trusting the Father. And then also they want me to get the COVID test. Everybody got it. Overlooked and after to get tested. So anyway, I just want to encourage Brother that he is a way maker, and you may get through all that university studies, you know, if that is Father's will for you. So I just want to share that stuff. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, I just had an idea. Maybe I could get a prosthetic arm for my and get a COVID shot and a prosthetic arm.
Ago in the 80s, and so, you know, I had an office, and my manager was so sweet, he let me have a radio, and I could have anything on I wanted, and I, of course, I put the Bible College on, and then I was thinking about that, and one of the songs that I used to listen to, which parts of it would just play in my head over and over again, and I came to our meeting, and I asked, you know, did somebody know who's saying this, and all these, well, I looked it up, and it's a song by the Cathedrals. And and what it says, and the part that played in my head is, we win, hallelujah, we win. I read the back of the book, and we win. And I was like, yes, that's it. You know, and I was so excited to find that. But I was trying to figure out, and what's telling me is that all this garbage that we're going through, and we will win in the end. And we just have to
win,
push ahead. And it's exciting.
Yeah. Okay. Brandon, we had something you wanted to say.
Oh, I'm a mother. I don't care what's in it. We don't care if it turns us into zombies. It doesn't have aborted baby, but I'm not thinking clearly about this. All three of the reactions of these women show a lack of, not just thinking, but a lack of a lot of defense function. And so, you know, the zombie thing is a big deal because DNA changing. We don't care what's in it. Too many people are just worried about that day to day. But it doesn't have or doesn't have. We need to find out all the ingredients and make sure we're allergic to the things that are in the current vaccine. So we've got to know the ingredients of each vaccine to say, I've got to bat for this one, bat for this one. Cheryl released an email months ago about how we need to find a vaccine. We need to study our map. We need to know what's in these so we can just give our objections. So we're not going to be like these people when they talk anybody into it. You know, you're going to have to hold me down. We don't get enough people to do it. So, because they're going to have to do the same thing to me. So if we can talk our way out of it, that's better.
Yeah. Hey, Sherry.
I forgot why I originally turned my microphone on, but my staff member's thing is I don't care what's in it. I don't want to die face down on a ventilator. That's hers. I don't care what you've done to other people. I don't want to be affected, you know?
The selfishness.
Oh, I remember why I turned it on now. I bet you can buy a fake vaccine passport on the dark web by now.
Okay. Cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
It's a total disconnect. And they're in denial. So this can't be picked up because it's all premise wrong. They're saying, well, the government's the issue, and that, so therefore, they're looking out for my good. And for me to get back to society,
I last week and this week, I talked about the Kabbalah Jewish Messiah, this Shlomo Yehuda Berry, that the Kabbalah Jews seem like they want to claim him as their Kabbalah Messiah, which, you know, some people are saying this could turn out to be the Antichrist and so forth, but that remains to be seen. But I got out on the web and I wanted to see what are people saying about this. And this plays into what you were saying, Rick, about the cognitive dissonance. that cognitive dissonance plays into their false Christian doctrine. I found this one guy who said he can't possibly be the Antichrist because if he is, we haven't been raptured out of here yet. Before we can be raptured out.
Oh.
Or, I mean, we have to be raptured out before that can happen. Okay. But see, that's what's playing into the cognitive dissonance. If they're believers and their feet is still walking around on this planet, they're saying none of the stuff that was prophesied in the book of Revelation can be happening because my preacher says, before all that stuff happens, I'm gone. See, and I've said for years that that's going to play the major role in why people are going to lose faith when they finally see all these things coming together and the Antichrist comes on the scene and they ain't out of here. Now they're going to say, well, we must have missed it. And there he is on Temple Mount and everybody's saying he's the Messiah. Let's go worship him. And you've got to have this vaccination to go over there and worship it.
And find a rabbi to go to.
Yes. And you've got to, you don't have to find a rabbi. All you have to do is be vaccinated, take a PCR test and a serological test, and they will let you in. Because they're starting in September to let organized tourist groups bring people in who are not Jews. Go ahead, Brandon.
You said you must have missed it. What is it? You mean they must have missed the rapture?
They must have missed the rapture.
So, well, if you miss the rapture, what are you going to go do the opposite of where you already go? That doesn't make any sense. I'm not picking on you. But But, oh, we must have missed it, so we're going to go call the Antichrist because we missed the rapture. No, no, that means don't do it. Don't do it. That was the whole point. But if you're left behind, this is what you need to know, right?
And if a lot of people die because of the vaccine and I keep it secret, they can change it around and say they were rapture.
Well,
thought.
That's true.
That's what I was about to say.
He said if a lot of people die of the vaccine, the churches can say they were raptured and you missed the rapture.
They would do that.
They sure
do. The other one was how about
Applegate?
Go ahead, Cheryl.
And it could be that through all of this, they're going to bring out the North Pole to make
them. People.
Yeah. And the Christians that think they're going to be raptured, they will fall into maybe the not worshiping the Noahide Lot, obeying them.
I got something on that. And that is, with this ruling the Supreme Court did, I was trying to figure out what is the connection. There's too many things that don't make any sense. And I'm looking at this. The ruling of the Supreme Court says anybody who's Reformed or conservative Jews converted to that will be allowed, if they're living in the land already, they'll be allowed to make a God. Well, that also applies to those who come into Reformed and conservative Judaism as well. There's far less restrictions on them by doing so. I think what's going to happen is the church is going to latch on to the church, the people who are Zionists. They're going to latch on to that and say, all we have to do is become Reformed Jews, and we will be able to be out in 2 years. This is what all this scramble is all about. They have to get their Messiah, crown king, by the end of this year or next year. Because if they don't do it by then, they're going to miss that opportunity because all this influx, huge influx of people into Israel, that will change the political landscape forever.
Right. And those rabbis want everything
under Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox. Yeah. It's all about control. But they're panicking now because they don't know what to do with this. They're putting it off like, oh, this does this and anything. But I'm looking at all these different articles and say, what is the connection? It's not a religious connection. It's a political connection because they're afraid. Because Netanyahu got up there and said, if this happens, this is dangerous. Why would Netanyahu, who is kind of like on a border fence there, he's an Orthodox, but he's really not practicing from what I can see. So why would he care? Because he could lose his Knesset to these new converts into Reformed Judaism. All this plays together. So this also is coinciding with this mark system that they're doing in Israel. Also with the COVID pass and all the different variants all around the world. All this plays in together. You can't, they'll make it. If you want to go to Israel, you won't make Aliyah, but you have to have a vaccine. If you want to go to Israel on tour, if you're not a Jew and you didn't make this decision part, you have to have a vaccine. They're going to get it no matter what. This is about annihilating 90% of the population around the globe so that they have this 10% left. It's going to backfire on them because those who keep the Torah and maintain the testimony of Yeshua, all the ones going to be making it to the end, not them.
Oh, shall I hear it?
Amen, brother.
Preach it. I like that.
It says in Jeremiah, a great army is gathering in Jordan. Now, it first looked like it's the Antichrist army. It's going to attack. Now, actually, it's Yahweh's army is preparing to just clean up it.
Well, back in Jeremiah's day, the army that was gathering in Jordan was Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
But there is an end times Babylon king, and it's a mystery Babylon. But if that is not the army that's gathering in Jordan days, it's another army that Yahweh's gathering.
But you have to add the rest of the prophecies to get to that conclusion.
Yes.
A lot of scripture, it looks like it's saying one thing, but it's like a shadow of something else, and you have to add the rest of scripture to see what Yahweh is actually saying.
Right.
This is one of those.
Innuendo.
Yes. What do you call it?
An innuendo.
It's
saying one thing, but it actually is referring to something else.
Yes.
It doesn't specify in Jeremiah what the army was. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar is not mentioned in Jeremiah in connection to any army that's coming through Jordan at all. In the end of days, in the far fulfillment, like I said in the last couple of weeks, it's Yeshua. He's gathering his people, starting in Egypt, And all of them, as he moves up through Jordan, is going to be part of his army.
Yeah.
See, I was just going to say, talking about the rabbis and the Christian church that they say they're going to be raptured, a thought came to me. I was recently told that there's a Torah teacher. I think I'm supposed to leave him nameless. But I met him at my first Sukkot in 2009. I believe, well, Cheryl was there with me, 2010, that he got vaccinated. And I thought that was real. That just was very distraught. I was so distraught to hear that. Like, what?
Who was it?
She's also a member.
Who were you with 2009 or 2010 with me at Sukkot?
Cheryl? Cheryl, okay, I'm just going to say.
Are you one of the speakers?
I'm sorry?
Are you saying that the speakers are just someone we hung out with?
A speaker, I would consider him a Torah teacher because he just, if I can say, I will. I just heard that he got vaccinated, and I was like, what? Because we're talking about the church people being vaccinated, and they think the rapture would happen. It was Neil.
You got his name?
Neil Snyder.
Neil Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of him.
Cheryl, do you remember our first account?
No, I don't. I'm trying to remember who he was. I can't.
Neil Snyder was one of the speakers there at 2010 Sukkot, the first Sukkot we went to, you were there, and he's the one that he had a teaching on the name, how, you know, when he went to speak there, he specifically spoke about his name, how to pronounce his name, what his correct name was, you know. Neil Snyder is a good teacher, but anyway, I was told that he got vaccinated.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I've been told by somebody else that there have been a number of Hebrew Roots teachers that have been vaccinated, and I need to get this person to give me the list of names. She said that there are, and they're organizing tours to Israel starting in September.
That's great.
And so they're rounding up other Hebrew Roots people, and they're getting those people vaccinated. This thing's dangerous.
Yes, it is. Nia, thank you for sharing that.
And I pray trust the person that did share that with us. We were at a gathering, you know, it is truth, because I don't know personally that he did, but that was shared, was told there, and it was very distraughting to hear that. I also want to say one more thing. My husband was just telling me he got a call from his insurance. Well, it wasn't a call, I think they texted him, and for him, you know, to make an appointment for his vaccination, which, of course, we're not going to be. But my husband was telling me also that, to his understanding, if you die and you didn't have a certificate of your vaccination, that they're not, you will lose your life insurance. So my husband says to me, so, okay, Nia, you know, if I die and I'm going to get vaccinated, you're not going to get my life insurance. So that supposedly that's going
not
to.
Unless there's been some major laws changed, that is not possible for them to pull that off. I've forgotten, it's been a long time since I was in the life insurance business, but it's something like 24 months, there is no way they can get out of paying the claim. That needs to be looked at. Talk to somebody that really understands the laws about the life insurance, because that's got to be a lie.
It has to be in the contract.
Yeah. Well, I know. And Brother Mike, that's true. And we will look into it, because my husband was like, oh, wow, that's just taking it too far. But I'm just going to say that, you know, they want everybody vaccinated. But yeah, I'll have my husband look more into that. But yeah, he heard that. So, but we'll look into it. Thank you.
There was no agreement when you started the vaccination thing. You say they will try to manipulate you so they can add that in.
Right.
But they cannot add that in without you agreeing to anything. And if they want to change it, they need to pay back all your payments you made up until that point.
They cannot get out of it. Just do thorough checking. They cannot get out of paying the claim.
Okay, Sherry. Okay, Sherry.
Well, another thing to take into consideration right now, laws don't matter. I mean, it just absolutely doesn't matter.
Yeah, we'll play it legally as far as we can, up until you get to that point that it's changed up by the presidency.
Right. But as far as the authorities are concerned, laws don't matter. There is no law.
Okay, well, we've got lockdown coming here, so get close so everybody can get wrapped up and drive to where they have to go. And
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Hello, Sarah.
Shabbat Shalom.
Hello, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, y'all. Pleasure being with you.
It's good to see you all. Have a wonderful week.
See you next time.
Okay.
I'm going to call you, Sherry.
And we should pray before we end. Cheryl, would you do it?
Okay. Abba, Father, we come to you in the name of Yeshua to thank you for who you are and your throne and your plan for this earth. We thank you for your people called Israel. And I do pray that you would protect everyone, keep them in your hand. Also, Abba, for those that are even tempted to take that vaccination, please help them to say no, to keep them to the very end, to meet Yeshua. We pray in Yeshua's name. We go forth in your name. Amen.
Okay, everybody, be blessed.
Thank you.
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from TheMessianicMessage.com. Thank you for listening.